It's the weekend, time for rest, relaxation, and another edition of New Wisco Weekend, a weekly look at issues, arts, entertainment, culture, and everything that makes New Wisco home. Now, here's your host, Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale.
Did you know it's National Preparedness Month? What does being prepared mean to you and your family? The dictionary defines preparedness as being ready for something to happen. Terry Barr will explain why having a conversation is the first step. Our cover story focuses on the Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services in Oshkosh. The Truth Booth celebrates a woman who lost over 200 pounds in 3 years. Amanda Nimmer prepares us for the alien invasion, or maybe even the zombie apocalypse. Todd Michaels introduces all of New Wisco to the newest employees of Civic Media in Green Bay and Oshkosh. We'll have stories on hunter preparedness with Melissa Kay and Girls on the Run and food safety. Pete Schwaba has his classic cinema pick of the week. And later, we'll meet a musician who shares her concerns surrounding school shootings in a song and why she hopes it prepares others to talk about gun violence and being safe. First, being prepared should start with you and your family, taking the time to talk about something that could happen, like an emergency or a disaster. It may not be an easy conversation, but it is important. Terry Barr opens up this issue of New Wisco Weekend with the steps to take now to be ready at any time.
A tornado is coming your way. Are you and your family prepared? Northeast Wisconsin can also be impacted by other disasters or hazards like flooding, fires, a pandemic, hazardous materials emergency, even an active shooter. It's important to know what to do and where to go, not if something happens, but when, including if you need to evacuate your home. National Preparedness Month is meant to help you, and the theme is start a conversation to build your preparedness plans. Here are some helpful tips, starting with a scheduled time to chat when everyone can be there together. Ask questions and help your family feel comfortable talking about emergency situations. And share ideas or even some of the steps you are ready to start to be prepared.
So how does my family prepare for disasters and just prepare for the season in general? We have a go kit. And we make sure that it's up to date and nothing has been expired.
That's Dan McElroney, a preparedness coordinator. You heard him mention a go kit, which should include enough water for your family, non-perishable food and a can opener, a flashlight, first aid kit, dust mask, towelettes, even a whistle if you need to signal for help. McElroney has a few other ideas, too.
We have a home generator, and I find that's really important because we used to lose electricity often. One other thing that we look at doing is the emergency financial first aid kit, making sure that's up to date on an annual basis. You have to break down, you know, who's responsible for what in the family.
And your pets are an important member of your family, so be sure to include them in your emergency preparedness plans. If you're asked to evacuate, take your pet too, along with its water, food, and medication. If you need more information, including tips for safety before, during, and after a hazard, go to ready.gov. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Terry Barr.
Thanks, Terry. Governor Tony Evers has also proclaimed September Preparedness Month in Wisconsin. The governor says man-made and natural threats happen in our state, and he hopes the proclamation is a reminder to residents about the importance of being prepared to respond to an emergency at a moment's notice.
This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and the Civic Media app.
Being prepared can also help you avoid bad situations, such as getting sick. September is Food Safety Education Month. The United States Food and Drug Administration says that there are 48 million cases of foodborne illness or food poisoning every year. That works out to be one in every six Americans getting sick from something that they've eaten. Pat Haney, a food safety consultant in Green Bay, works with area restaurants, facilities, and institutions to practice safe food handling through his business 6P Solutions.
And if the conditions are right, they produce even faster microorganisms depending on their environment.
Haney said there are six conditions that speed up and foster the growth of foodborne pathogens. That's food, acidity, time, temperature, oxygen, and moisture, known as Fat Tom. He added that foodborne pathogens can be found in restaurants, any business or facility that serves food at any time, and in your own personal home.
You run a risk in any operation depending on the process.
The FDA says protecting yourself from foodborne illnesses is easy enough if you're prepared and remember a few simple steps. Wash your hands and surfaces often. Separate raw meats from other foods. Cook to the proper temperature. Refrigerate foods promptly after cooking. Haney believes hand washing is the most important and effective of all of those tips.
The most important thing in the home and outside the home would be hand washing, because that is the easiest way and the most effective way to prevent a foodborne illness. And it doesn't cost anything.
Cross-contamination is also a concern for food safety, and Haney says never to use the same cutting board for vegetables after you've cut meats on it, such as chicken.
Rule of thumb is to use a cut board, have a designated cutting board, like a yellow for poultry, green for produce.
The FDA also says to make sure to cook your foods to a safe minimum internal temperature, as measured with a food thermometer. They then advise people to properly chill any leftovers in the refrigerator within 2 hours of cooking or purchasing, or within 1 hour of cooking or purchasing if the temperature outside is over 90 degrees Fahrenheit. This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, and today's theme is being prepared or preparedness.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
So far in this program, you've been hearing about different ways to prepare, preparing for the weather, preparing financial decisions, or preparing on how to get out of a really bad situation. And those are good, responsible things that you should take time and care into planning. Those types of preparedness are the logical ones, the responsible ones, and the right ones. But what about preparing for the illogical? Before someone can prepare for the illogical, you need to define what is illogical. What type of scenario may or may not ever happen, but maybe you want to start preparing for it. And that, my friends, is going to be alien invasion, asteroid impact, solar death, supervolcano eruption, some kind of economic or societal collapse, some kind of religious rapture, or one of my favorites to think about, the zombie apocalypse. Okay, stop. Don't turn your dial. Okay? Yes, this is childish. Yes, this is silly. But some of these things might actually happen. May or may not in our lifetime, but maybe on one of those long road trips or a particularly boring meeting, you find yourself looking out the window and wondering, is that building over there secure enough to keep zombies out? And that is the beginning of preparing for the illogical. Here are some steps to consider. Step one, who are you bringing with you? The world is currently panicking. There is a zombie apocalypse knocking at your door right now, and you need to get out and find a meeting place with the people who are going to be a part of your group. So where is it? Where is your meeting place? That's going to be step one. After you have a meeting place, of course, you've probably already considered, where are you and your friends either going to travel to? Where are you going to take your family to hide? Is there a bunker? These are things to consider. Step two, food and supplies. Now, in any type of apocalyptic or panic situation, people are always going to loot. So do not go to the box stores. Of course, they're going to be hit up. And also, a box store is definitely not the place to hide or hole up in when it comes to a zombie apocalypse. A, too many windows. B, things can get in through the vents. C, it's too big to maintain. You need something that you can learn like the back of your hand and has minimal access points. Step two, while the internet access is still available, please tell me that you are downloading anything on what it's like to live in the wild. Society might be coming to an absolute collapse. You're going to need to know these things or have access on how to know these things. For instance, do you know how to doctor a wound? Do you know how to forage? Do you know how to hunt in the wild or fish? These are things that you will need on hand during your apocalyptic expedition. Step 3, weapons. Everyone goes for the pew-pews, okay? The pew-pews are not the best apocalyptic weapon. In the beginning, sure. But when you are trying to hide and not get into any type of combatic situation, you're going to want something quiet, you're going to want something light, and you're going to want something swift. Has Hunger Games taught us nothing? That's all I'm going to say. Step 4, have access to clean water. And if you don't have access to clean water, the whole downloading all that information stuff before the internet goes out will be really helpful when it comes to distilling and debacterializing your water. Life straws. Get one now. You never know when you're going to need them. Step 5 for this segment, because we are getting basically to my cutoff point. When it comes to food options, make them renewable. Of course, canned food and MREs are great in the beginning, especially when you're traveling, trying to find a nice safe haven to live the rest of your days, at least periodically, until society gets things under point, which could be, you know, many, many moons from now. But they are not sustainable over time. So whatever food sources you have, you need to make sure they're renewable. You need to make sure that you are planting seeds, planting the roots. If you got potatoes, man, I mean, all you got to do is put one potato in the ground, wait a while, you're going to have so many more potatoes. Watch the movie Mars with Matt Damon, for crying out loud. You'll learn that you can live off of potatoes. Holes, they lived off onions. Make sure your food sources have the ability to be renewable, because you never know what might happen in a societal collapse, end of the world situation, or zombies. And we have to cut off the discussion right here, because yes, I could go on for hours. There are so many other decisions that you have to learn to make or plan for, but this is a starting point to planning for the illogical. Will it ever happen? Man, I hope not. But in case it does, guess what? You're already part of the way there. It never hurts to be prepared in any situation. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go.
When we come back, our classic cinema pick of the week and Truth Booth, plus being prepared as a hunter. This is New Wisco Weekend. This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, we'll hear from Kathy, who lost over 200 pounds in our Truth Booth. Todd Michaels will introduce you to WISS and WGBW's newest employee. Right now, danger, treasure, and pirates. Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
For this week's flick, we go back to the year 1985 AD. The Goonies is one of those treasures that just keeps finding new fans in new generations. It's also one of those films that makes a writer say, I want to write the next Goonies. The story is set in Goondocks, Oregon, a beautiful seaside community that is about to become a golf course unless characters with names like Mikey, Chunk, Mouth, and Sloth can stop the greedy developers and save their homes. Actually, Sloth might want an upgrade from the chains in his mother's dank basement, and who could blame him? The gang finds themselves looking for a pirate's treasure that will make saving their homes a slam dunk. And as the saying goes, Goonies never say die.
Chester Copperpot! Don't you guys see? Don't you realize? He was a pro! He never made it this far! Look how far we've come! We got a chance!
Chance at what, Mikey? Getting killed? Look, if we keep going, someone's really gonna get hurt.
Maybe dead.
Besides, we gotta get to the police.
Maybe Chunk already got to the police.
Maybe Chunk is dead.
Don't say that. Never say that. Goonies never say die.
The film stars pre-Rudy Sean Astin, Brat Pack adjacent Martha Plimpton, career bad guy Joe Pantoliano, and a young Josh Brolin, who went on to star in many post-Goonie hit films. This family-friendly film is suitable for most viewers, except newborns, who seem to have trouble following the story. The film received mostly positive reviews, but I would say a 77% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes underperforms. The 23% who did not respond favorably are completely heartless individuals who don't like happiness. Rest assured, audience scores clock in at 91%. We'll see if an upcoming sequel with the original characters is as enjoyable. When it comes right down to it, The Goonies is a great film about loyalty and friendship. And it's your classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
At New Wisco Weekend, we get the chance to tell some amazing triumphs and exciting things that go on in Northeast Wisconsin, but we also talk about the challenges we face as well as we search for answers in those areas. Our team is why we're here. The people who contribute to New Wisco Weekend are the backbone of this program and basically the philosophy of what we're doing at WGBW and WISS with Civic Media. Our team has grown, and I thought we'd put a spotlight on a new member to the Northeast Wisconsin team. Her name is Nikki Zerjav. She is joining us. We call her Nikki Z, and she's joining us as an account executive, but her background is an amazing story in itself.
I spent 11 seasons with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. I was in charge of all sorts of things, marketing, PR, and engaged with folks in the community with player appearances, speaking events, handled marketing for TV and radio for the team for the season. And I absolutely loved the job. But gave that up when I got married and had kids, and so did the mom thing for a while.
And most recently, she took to the airwaves at 95.9 KISS FM.
Had a blast doing that. It's been fun to become relevant again. I think my kids are like, oh, yeah, mom can be an adult. So we're all excited.
Being up front, Nikki had other offers at other radio stations, but she chose to work here.
In talking to the folks here before coming on board, learning about Civic Media, learning about what it stands for, how it became is super fascinating. And because I love the area we live in, we just live in such a great area. And then connecting the community with giving people a voice to raise awareness, raise funds, doing the right thing. That seems to be the overall mission, very much in line with my own personal beliefs and how I kind of live my life and what we stand for as a family. So thought I could maybe carry that out in another capacity.
We're excited to have Nikki Z join our team. You will see her out and about in the community at events and fundraisers and maybe at your business, asking you to tell your own story. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Todd Michaels.
This is New Wisco Weekend. Earlier, I mentioned being prepared can help keep bad things from happening. This applies to hunters, too. Melissa Kay reports.
Hunting season has begun, and Aspira says the most common injuries are caused by falling out of tree stands.
You're much more likely to get injured from a fall than you are from a gunshot wound.
That's Dr. Michael Clark, an MD, MPH, and EMS medical director with Aspira's Medevac. He said falls from over 10 feet tend to result in more severe injuries. Joseph Mulrooney is a recreation warden with the Wisconsin DNR. He said it's important to inspect your gear before you go out to hunt.
You don't want the first time getting your tree stand, the first time you're looking at your straps, looking at your equipment. So do it ahead of the season.
Following safety guidelines can significantly reduce the risk of injury and ensure a safe hunting season.
Straps are cheap. A broken leg isn't.
You can find more tips and resources at dnr.wisconsin.gov. I'm Melissa Cave.
This is New Wisco Weekend on WISS and WGBW and the Civic Media app.
Whenever anyone on the New Wisco Weekend team is out and about doing things in the public, we bring along a recorder to collect stories from you, what you're passionate about, the things that make you tick, good or bad, what's going on with you. We call it the Truth Booth. Today in the Truth Booth, we hear from Kathy, who went from 340 pounds down to 140, losing 200 pounds in 3 years. She does it with what she calls manage and move, manages what she eats, and she moves. Here's Kathy.
But I don't call it a weight loss. I don't call it a diet. It's called manage and movement. Okay, I went to Kohl's, and I was going to buy some new pants. And I went in the dressing room, tried them on, and they didn't fit. And I go try them on, you know, you just got mirrors all around them. They didn't fit. I just sat down and went, this has just got to end. I was so sad and so depressed that I'd let myself go that far and just kind of would mask it by wearing oversized clothes or, you know, black or. So what I decided is that I found there's a lot of chemicals in our food, and a lot of food makers do that to make us addicted to their foods. So anything that's microprocessed, I don't eat. In other words, if I can't buy the ingredients at the store, I don't buy that food.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story on the Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services in Oshkosh. We'll be back right after the news. This is New Wisco Weekend. For WISS and WGBW, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time now for our cover story. The Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services is going through changes in the shelter and in the organization. Alicia Wegner appeared on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show to talk about it, and here's a portion of that interview.
Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services, we serve all individuals and families that are impacted by domestic abuse. Our primary service area is Winnebago County and Green Lake counties, but that doesn't mean that it's restricted to just those counties. We have people who come from all over, and a lot of times we work in collaboration with Golden House, Harbor House, all over, because sometimes it's far too unsafe to stay within your own county, so people have to go a little bit further for the safety aspect of it. So we provide emergency shelter, legal advocacy, outreach services, youth services, and then community education. Those are really kind of the big pillars of what our organization does.
Wow. You know, one thing that surprised me here, Jim, I just actually circled it. I thought Wisconsin is eighth in the nation for domestic violence homicide. Wow. How did Wisconsin get there?
Yeah, that's correct. And that number, there is a very good chance that Wisconsin has actually gone up, because that was from 2022 numbers. That's not including last year. So, unfortunately, domestic violence homicides have definitely been on the rise. We've seen that throughout our communities, and the state of Wisconsin, yeah, like you said, is eighth in homicides due to domestic violence. Mm.
Oh, I just hate hearing that.
Yeah.
But whatever. Thank God for people like you. So how does someone, and I think that's great. I never really thought about the reciprocal arrangements you have, but to get out of this violence, maybe it is best to come down to Oshkosh or Apple.
Be anonymous.
Right. Tell me about how we get in touch. The domestic violence, they're living in this environment and they need to get out, but they're afraid to. They don't know how to. Like, what's the first step?
Yeah, the first step would be to call our 24/7 helpline. We have advocates that are ready to answer, and 24/7, 365 days a year, there's always going to be a person on the other end of that phone ready to provide support. So all people have to do is to call our helpline at 920-235-5998. And that's how they get in touch. That helpline is anonymous. So if they're really not ready to give us any information, they can just sit and simply talk and just get some emotional support.
One of the other things that's said here is you say because of our current facility has limitation, it results in us turning away over 50 individuals from the shelter each year. That has to be heartbreaking.
It is. It's absolutely because people who would otherwise be who would be accepted into our shelter, unfortunately, because of the limitations that our building provides, we simply just cannot accommodate some of the needs. So if we have multiple large families that are seeking safety of the shelter at the same time, unfortunately, we only have one bedroom that has seven beds in it. So if we have multiple large families, we simply just cannot accommodate that. Same with our ADA accessible rooms. We have 3 out of our 10 bedrooms are ADA accessible. And so if we have multiple folks who are in need of a first floor bedroom, and those are full, then we have to connect with Golden House or Harbor House or Solutions in Fond du Lac to make sure that that person does get the appropriate support. But yeah, unfortunately, our building has served us well for over 30 years. And there have been multiple renovations done on the building throughout the years. It started as a single family home, so it really wasn't meant to be what we're using it for. But we're just simply at a time where we are outgrowing it.
So as the executive director of the Christine Ann, sometimes people think you're dealing with one person suffering domestic violence, but you're talking, I think you just want to reemphasize, it could be the whole family that needs protection.
Absolutely. We see a large chunk of the folks that are coming to see us are bringing their children with them. Whether that's a mother who's bringing her 4 or 5 kids, or even a father who's bringing their couple of kids with them. So we serve everybody at Christine Ann. Anyone can be impacted by domestic abuse. And so more often than not, our shelter is quite full with families that are running around there. Okay. During COVID. Right.
Well, let's give me a list of the way we can help right now.
Yeah. Well, financial donations are obviously a huge piece of this campaign. You can donate online or by sending anything to our Oshkosh location at 206 Algoma Boulevard in Oshkosh. We have a wish list on our website that people can go on, and they can go on our Amazon wish list, select whatever our needs are. That's updated monthly, and that just ships directly to us. So that is a super easy way to donate. And then also there's the donation of time. Right. So we are seeking many different volunteers for different volunteer opportunities that we have. So volunteerism is amazing, and we rely on the support of volunteers to help us.
Some of the areas there with cleaning, assembling furniture, painting, storage areas, stocking, things like that, and more.
Yeah. You bet.
Need it all. So, hey, is that still going on, that Otto Bremer, the match?
It is, yes.
Oh,
it
talk
is,
about yeah. That is like people feel really good because if they give you $100, it's actually $200, you know.
Or yeah.
But you even say here that you can give up to $250,000 and he's going to match it. So
correct.
I hope somebody's listening that can give $250,000. But anything from $1 up to $250,000 is matched. Tell me how long that goes on.
Yeah, so it goes on as long as we raise the $250,000. So we are taking gifts of all sizes. Any little bit helps because we're going through a huge expansion right now to move to the building right next door. And that that grant from Otto Bremer was a huge, huge opportunity for us. And so any gifts that are donated is being matched dollar for dollar up to $250,000.
Wow. Okay. So once again, you're the executive director of the Christina Ann Foundation. And once again, in each of the last 4 years, Wisconsin has lost around 100 lives to domestic violence. That's incredible. 100 of innocent people killed because of domestic violence, eighth in the nation, and unfortunately moving up on those statistics. And you guys are here to prevent that.
Correct. Yes.
Beautiful. Just,
thanks for doing that. Yep. And we've had the people on here from Golden House. I want to talk to the people from Appleton, but you know, I think we all like, you know, the Packers, the universities, you know, the downtown Sawdust District, all the stuff you're doing there. But we have to remember that
there's a dark side.
It's a dark side, and we need to, you know, shine a little bit of light on that. And the way we do that is for you coming on and talking about us, and Johnny and I talking about it, even when you're not on our show, is to remind people that this is going on. And, you know, this is part of our responsibility of living here. We got all these great things, but we can't forget about the things that aren't so great. And that's where we can step up with the time or the treasure.
And give us one email or phone number. I don't want to give a bunch of them. Give us one that would really work that you'd like us to put out there.
Anyone who's interested in getting in touch with us can email safertogether@christineann.net. That is the name of our capital campaign that we're running right now. And so that's the easiest way to get in touch with us about how you can help support survivors of domestic abuse and this huge expansion for Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services.
Fantastic. How's it going so far?
It's going really well. So the community has just been so generous. We just launched our public phase of the campaign on May 15th. And out of our $7 million campaign, we are at $5.9 million committed.
Oh, that's awesome. So
we've done a lot of work up until this point, and we are just at the final push to help us get that last $1 million.
To learn more about Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services, visit their website, christineann.net. Check out Mino and the Mayor every weekday morning from 6 till 9 a.m. on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Olympics give us a taste of the great things our bodies can do with enough practice, discipline, and training. But where do girls go to get the encouragement to discover, build, grow their self-confidence while blending physical activities and life skills, especially in our area? Girls on the Run Northeast Wisconsin is just such a program. Girls on the Run teaches physical activity blended with life skill development, including managing emotions, fostering friendships, and expressing empathy. Amber Hammond is the executive director for Girls on the Run Northeast Wisconsin. She says the program, while not a running program, is designed to help girls grow self-confidence and self-esteem through movement and physical activity.
So it's not a running program. That's a misconception. It really is a program that helps girls with evidence-based curriculum learn more about themselves and how to better themselves.
Hammond says each season, girls meet twice a week at a school or a community center.
So they do a variety of things. They get together, do physical activity. They get to learn lesson plans, finding more within themselves. We have fun little sayings like embracing your star power. And they get to think about the future and just things that they might not have thought about in the past.
Hammond says that the social and emotional programs take up to 2 years to create, write, and launch for each new curriculum. And the program is evidence-based. So the program follows girls who have participated. She shared an example.
There was a girl that came to this program, and she was really reserved, wouldn't really talk with anyone. She was kind of behind developmentally, and she couldn't speak. She didn't really talk. And it was a lot of trauma too, but she just would not speak to anyone. And one day, what she did was, it was her 5K week. So the girls celebrate at the end of the season with a big 5K that show, like, look at what we did. It's really cool. There's crazy hair stations, but it's a really fun time. And what happened was, during this 5K, the girl, unprompted, took a little piece of chalk and wrote on the sidewalk, about how Girls on the Run saved me or something like that. And it was like the sweetest thing. But then what happened is they followed her and now she's in her 20s and she just won a public speaking award. And she said that Girls on the Run contributed to helping her being able to speak.
Hammond said there are about 600 girls that participate in Girls on the Run in Northeast Wisconsin every year.
47% of our participants are in the poverty level. So what we do for them also is we make sure that they have running shoes. If they need clothing, we get that for them because we want them to be comfortable. We never want money to be a factor with the girls either. So we have a suggested price, but we never want to turn anyone away based on the fee.
As a matter of fact, Hammond says she wishes there had been a program like Girls on the Run for her when she was growing up.
I grew up in a poverty household where there was a lot of abuse, and I think I could have benefited from a program like this. I would love for someone to look at me and be like, I can do it. I come from this really crappy background, but you know what? If I can just focus in on what I want in life, I can overcome that because this person did.
New season of Girls on the Run Northeast Wisconsin starts September 16th and ends with a 5K run on November 16th.
So that's going to be super fun. It's called Hello Mountain Mover, and it's all about getting girls to just really have confidence and know that they can do whatever they want to do.
Girls on the Run Northeast Wisconsin serves 9 counties in our area: Brown, Calumet, Door, Kewaunee, Manitowoc, Outagamie, Sheboygan, Waupaca, and Winnebago. To register for the new season, which does start September 16th, visit the registration page at girlsontherunnew.org. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
It was a beautiful day, sun beat down. I had the radio on, I was driving.
Coming up, how one mother is putting her idea of what it means to be prepared into a song. You won't want to miss her incredible story. This is New Wisco Weekend.
The last 3 days, the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. We're wrapping up this edition with one mother's take on being prepared. Marta Hansen is also a musician who puts her thoughts into songs. One in particular she hopes will lead to keeping schools safe from gun violence. Here's Terry Barr with the story behind this emotional song.
Bang, bang.
Happy to welcome in musician Marta Hansen. And Marta, we just heard that very emotional song, Bang Bang. What can you tell us about it?
We obviously have a lot of gun violence in the United States. And the part of it that affects me the most is sending my kids to school. And I wrote this song about that feeling that I'm sure all parents get, myself included. It's that feeling that when we drop them off every day, hoping they'll be safe at school. And I wrote that that song about that feeling of every single day when I drop them off, that little part of me that worries needing them to come home and come home safe. And that's a worry that every parent feels every time we take our kids to school every single day. It's a heavy song. It is.
And every time I listen to it, I hear something in addition to what I've already heard. Our theme for the show is prepared, but I know mm-hmm. we can't really prepare for something like a shooting at a school. But do you feel a song like this maybe at least can take us into a discussion about it?
I do. That's what we do as musicians, right? Is we try to start conversations and we try to get people to think and to feel and to connect. The way I wrote this song and the lyrics is really heavy thing that actually happens that shouldn't feel normal and shouldn't be normal, mixed in with this normalcy of dropping your kid off at school every day, like, have a good day, I love you, that's this normal thing, and it's mixed with this really bad thing. I don't think we should become complacent, and I don't think that we should accept that this is normal. And I hope that this song can bring about some conversations about how we can change that, how we can create a safer place for not just our kids, but for the teachers, for everybody who goes into a school building or any public space. And I hope that a conversation can happen, or that people can listen to it and they just maybe feel motivated to get up and do something or to say something and just, you know, become active in the conversation around it.
I like you said, music can be powerful. What do you find in your music? How do you feel that it relates to people and they can listen to any of your songs really and feel something from your songs?
I struggle with writing fiction. I do a little bit here and there, but really everything I write always comes from some sort of personal experience or some sort of personal connection that I've had. All of my lyrics are about something, whether it's being a woman, being a mom, seeing what's on the news, being, there's going to be something in all of my music that somebody's like, oh, I live that. I live that every day, or I feel that, or I saw that. And I feel like it helps people feel left alone.
I am talking with musician Marta Hansen. Now, you kind of had to get yourself prepared recently for a little change in what you do professionally. What are you doing now, and how is that going?
It's going great. You know, it was a really big change. I basically, for 11 years, I've been wearing many professional hats: piano technician, music store owner, a bookkeeper, a piano teacher, music teacher, and, you know, retail owner, all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. For the last couple of years, the piano tuning side, the piano technician side of my business has become completely full-time, all on its own. That everything else that came with running a brick and mortar store got to be too much. I was stretched very thin, feeling like I just wasn't present enough with my family. And so I decided to make a huge change and close the brick and mortar and focus 100% on tuning and repair. And it opens up more time for me to focus on music too. You know, I've always snuck it in where I can, and now I can actually devote some real time to making music, creating music.
If people want to find out more about you, where can they go to learn more about Marta Hansen?
For my piano tuning business, which is thepianogalshop.com. And then on the performing music side of things, my songwriting, you can go to martahansenmusic.com. And that's where I have, you know, samples of my music, links to my socials, my Spotify.
All right. We are going to leave with your song, Ghosts. Marta, what can you tell us about this song?
I'm a pretty reflective person. I think a lot. And Ghosts is really about growth. Will you let your past be something that helps you grow as a person, helps you learn, helps you become a better person, or will you let them drag you back?
Prolific as we go into this song and as we've been talking about being prepared or trying to be as prepared as you can, no matter what you do. Marta, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Terry.
Marta Hansen and her song, Ghosts.
Ghosts of the past are roaming free. Where are they? They're haunting you, they're haunting me. Stuck inside our heads to make us feel so foolish. We're not moving on. we're stuck in purgatory, knowing that our ghosts have led us down the wrong way, the wrong way, wrong way down, the wrong way, the wrong way, wrong way down.
Thank you so much for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced by Todd Michaels, written and directed by Lisa Hale, featuring Terry Barr with correspondents Melissa Kay, Pete Schwaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by John Mino and Jim Schmidt. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime. Lisa.Hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. Be unstoppable.